podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reisch. I'm joined by my co-host, Adam Murray. How you doing, Adam Murray?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Me, Andrew Reisch, I'm doing great. we had a production snafu before this one, so we had to emphasize which one is Adam Murray and which one is Andrew Reisch.
Some people can't understand their names, but that's cool. But listeners, thanks for coming in. I know you probably clicked on "Go Home in a Box" and you've got this by accident, or maybe Top Beer or Geek and Sassy, and somehow ended up with basketball. But hey, thanks for coming.
If you like if you like reading comic books while drinking beer and watching. I'm trying to think of a really good 80s sci-fi B movie. What was that one with Brian De Palma?
Tron.
Scanners. How about Scanners?
Okay.
Yeah, the one with the exploding head that everybody always likes to pop up on Twitter, even though nobody knows where it's actually from. It's from a David Cronenberg movie called Scanners. But if you like to do all that and if you just happen to like basketball, just click on us.
You just clicked on us by accident. Thanks for showing up.
Or if you wanted to, do a pop blast for Big Brother, that'd be great too. Even though I hate Big Brother with a passion.
They're on season, 19 or 20 or 30?
Well, the big meltdown this year is that Paul, the proverbial Paul, lost again. That he was invited back and he lost. To a guy named I don't remember his real name, but his nickname is Meatball.
You officially know way more. I just knew it was a show.
Yeah,
it's been on for 20 seasons, and you're like, yeah, well, I'm going to name names.
Survivor's got a million because they would do two in one year, one season.
For somebody who hates the show, you sure seem to pop off with a lot of knowledge real quick.
That is all saturation. You're around it, so you have to kind of know it because you can't get away from it. It's kind of like sports with my wife. She probably knows way more about sports than most women because she's around it literally all the time.
I would have thought that too, but my wife seems to just not understand how sports work.
If I asked your wife about what do you think's going to happen with the Kyrie Irving trade, would she know anything about it?
She will go, "Oh, Isaiah Thomas, the tiny one. I liked him. He was cute." That would be her response.
Oh, man. It's not like great minds always have to think alike. But yeah, I have to soak it. And when it comes to pop culture, I have to soak it all in. But if you want to soak it all in on the pop feed, we know our pop too. But we got some sports that we want to throw at you too. So please listen in. This is going to be part two of our season preview for the 2017-18 season, which should be the most exciting season in NBA history, right?
Oh, yeah.
With the least exciting crop, in my opinion, right here in this one. I hate to break it to the listeners here, but I'm going to have to get Adam to get my hopes up on this one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, when Adam Murray has to be the beacon of hope for your episode, you're in trouble.
So what we have done, if you are... missed the first one. We don't care if you didn't listen to the first one. Those are just horrible teams.
There's some interesting talk there, but yeah.
We're going teams by Vegas over and unders. Vegas puts out their odds of what they think the team should do. Usually we're in agreement with them, but once in a while they're a little off, a little high on somebody. They're usually high on people. They're never usually too low.
And they're very reactive. They're very move reactive. So if you made moves that are considered by critics or writers to be negative or positive, then they go really hard, in a certain direction.
So these are teams in the old NBA. These would be the worst teams in the league. But in the new NBA, where tanking is embraced, these teams are actually – one of these teams is going to be the 21st best team.
So you're saying that the worst team – like the 97 – I think the 98 Clippers is the one I always I always reference, and the expansion era Raptors and Grizzlies. You're saying those teams would have beaten the worst teams in our bottom tier, which was called the sunken place.
See, but you're going with expansion teams again. If you have to go with, can an expansion team be better than the god awful team they've put together now to cut save money?
But that's the worst teams. That's the worst teams of the 90s. It was the Clippers always. The Mavericks were awful. I remember.
Okay, fine. We'll go 80s.
Okay, 80s. Well, then again, you had less teams, so the worst teams were better by default. But then you have to compare the errors and
I know, but I'm just saying, in a normal league where everybody's competitive, these teams would be the bottom five. But since you have teams that are so bad
that they don't even try?
Exactly. These teams are at least trying. And given, a couple coin flips, and if it all lands up on heads, they might try to push for an 8 seed or push up to the next tier. You never know.
Because that next tier after that is the one where it's like, okay, that one might make the playoffs. This one I titled the upside down, because I feel like there is upside, but it's not always going in the right direction. Like, I could see some of these teams maybe taking a fall, and then I could see the upside for some of these teams, but it's not there yet. Like, we're like a year or so away.
Yep, they are making moves for the future, as opposed to just we have a for rent cap space sign on our front lawn. Just come in, give us your garbage and a pick. We're cool. So starting off, we go in alphabetical order. We're gonna go with Dallas.
The Dallas Mavericks. First of all, are you surprised they're in this section, like right up below, right above the bottom tier?
Because the bottom tier is so bad. This team, if you're relying on Yogi Ferrell and Seth Curry to be your starting backcourt last year, you're just not a good team.
They got energized by the Nerlens Noel trade in February. Which they pulled off with Philadelphia. It wasn't like he played great. I mean, his numbers were like 9.7 rebounds, over an assist, and over a steal, and over a block per game, which is pretty good. Shows some range. Played hardball in free agency, where he changed agents, but he did sign the tender, so they got him for at least one more year. Do you feel like he'll be in the long term plans, though?
Well, that was funny. Is they offered him 4 years, $71 million. He said no, and then everyone's like, "Well, why?" I'll just take the tender. I'm like, you're not going to get that money next year.
He screwed himself out of it. Wasn't like a great contract. It was like 4 years, $70 million. But if he had just signed it, it still would have been better than what he's going to get now, because he's got the bad knee, from all the way back from when he was in college for that 1 year at Kentucky. But I don't think he can get the value that he got on the table back in July that him and his agent turned away.
Well, next year money's going to be even tighter, because we have a lot of teams in the luxury tax.
I mean, look at RFAs now. RFAs are squeezing for money. Mason Plumlee barely scratched out a decent contract, and he played that game all the way until October.
And who knows about everyone else? It's just teams don't have that money anymore, and those who do don't really need a specialist. At center, so one-dimensional center. So the thing with Dallas is they finally got lucky with because sometimes the draft just falls and you'll land they'll be like, hey, you want to trade your tractor trailer for this Dirk Nowitzki kid? Sure. The Celtics, Paul Pierce somehow falls to 10th. You have Dennis Smith, who just falls to 9th.
Did you just compare Dennis Smith Jr., a rookie, to Dirk Nowitzki and Paul Pierce?
I'm paralleling it to the opportunisticness of the draft.
Okay, that's not a real word.
Of the right fit going to the right team. And
falling. Where was Smith drafted? Was it 9th or was it 8th?
It was 9th,
with Frank Ntilikina going right above him. Which a lot of people are quickly referencing of, oh, that may have been a big mistake by the Knicks, and that the Mavericks are really gonna make them regret this, and Rick Carlisle is gonna get another one. I'll say this for Mark Cuban, though, even he admitted that they tanked last year. They were at 33 wins, but there was a point last year where they just said, "Fuck it, let's just sit some guys, let's shut down Dirk Nowitzki, and just see what kind of lottery pick we can get."
Oh, they tanked. It's just, they tanked because they didn't have anybody. It's not like the Lakers, who said, our two best guys go home in our biggest contracts. They were just like, okay, Yogi, we have no point guard. Yogi Ferrell, you're going to take 35 minutes. We don't care.
And now Dirk Nowitzki is back in the fold. It was one of those situations where they knew that he would re-sign, when he did the opt-out, but it's a little friendlier of a contract. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's one of the ones where it's 2 years, but it's not nearly as high as it was on that balloon payment that they signed to him last year when they had the cap space.
oh, that's just the loyalty thing. Hey, we have tons of cap spaces here. You want 25 million? Okay, give 25 million. All right, okay, I got like 25 million.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'll just play for 10.
Exactly. So kind of in that vein. So, you know, Nowitzki, do you think he'll make it to the 2 years? Or, I mean, he's always taking care of his body. I think he wants to play until he's 40. I think that's the plan. Once he gets to 40.
I think that this year might be. Because at the end, it's just you're going to be Paul Pierce. You're going to be sitting on the bench. You're going to get 3 minutes garbage time, if that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those. At some point, you think you're just holding up a roster spot for somebody who you could be developing.
Not too many changes. You know, Jonathan Gibson's gone. Pierre Jackson was waived. Nick Brasino is gone. A lot of the other AJ Hammonds was traded to Miami. A lot of the same are back. Dwight Powell, who they had re-signed last summer. Dorian Finney-Smith, who they liked. Salai Majeri? Did I say his name right?
Yep.
The Euro big man. Devin Harris. We're not sure really where he is in the fold.
Devin Harris is just old. Salmeri. Yeah. He you know, will give spot minutes. He'll be the solid backup.
Yeah. JJ Barea is kind of in the same fold as Harris. Seth Curry, Steph's brother, plays okay. I mean, he averaged 13 points, 2.7 assists, good 3-point shooter. He's found a home in Dallas, is fair to say.
And that's the thing, is they're expecting him to make this major leap. And again, if your hopes are on him and Dorian Finney-Smith, who was an undrafted free agent, I believe, it's good that, you know, you're getting these people from the D League and, you know, they're doing stuff. It's just, this is who you're relying on.
Yeah. Well, Texas Legends always has been known as like one of the more dependable D-League affiliates in terms of development. And Rick Carlisle, as we always say, is a wizard. Like, he just seems to always just conjure up good seasons out of nothing, you know. And I mean, he's got a little bit more ammunition now that Noel – they're going to get a full season Noel. They got Josh McRoberts in that A.J. Hammonds trade. And then Dennis Smith Jr. is going to be the point guard of the future. Looked really, really good summer league. I mean, do you feel like he can conjure up a little bit more? He's got a little bit more gas in the tank?
I don't think there's much gas in the tank, but I think with Dennis Smith, who, you know, people are saying early season could be rookie of the year. He's one of the top, you know, three or four favorites. So with that, and, you know, Harrison Barnes, people are like, oh, they're people are down on him. It's like, well, what are you expecting to do with nobody else around him?
He had his best season. Yeah, I mean, I don't think people realize that, but he had his best season as a player.
He was actually, you know, he's sort of the focal point now, so you're developing, well, what do I want to be as a player being
well,
the guy.
Well, it's that Durant thing. It's like, oh, well, Kevin Durant went there, and now they're unstoppable, so Harrison Barnes was clearly the weak link. And it's like, no, Harrison Barnes is a decent player. Is he overpaid at over $23 million, $24 million a year? Maybe, but he's a good player. I don't know if he's like their star. Dennis Smith might rise and become the new star. We'll see. Will he be the rookie of the year? He's got a great chance because he's going to have so much opportunism. Like, opportunisticness is what you said?
Opportunismness?
They had 33 wins last year, even with the tank job in the last couple of weeks where they could, knowing Carlisle, they really wanted to try. They could have tried to scratch out 37. 35.5 is the over-under in Las Vegas, which is the win total we go by for all the teams here. And I'm gonna go over there. I think I'll confidently go over for Dallas.
I wanted to, but I think I'm gonna switch to under.
Okay.
It's just you have so much trouble out west.
Mm-hmm. Well, the west is treacherous at the top. I mean, it's almost big boy land.
And it's just gonna be murderer's row, having, you know, New Orleans, Houston, and San Antonio in your conference, and there's gonna be no easy wins.
No.
So.
I mean, you have to scratch it out against those really, really bad teams in the bottom. You pretty much have to clean sweep them. But I'll confidently say over because I just believe in Rick Carlisle. We're switching over to the Eastern Conference now, and we're going to go with the Indiana Pacers. This one is one of those things where you can't really judge based off of the statistics and the record from last year. They had 42 wins. They made the playoffs. They got swept by the Cleveland Cavaliers. But this is the post-Paul George era. So, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here, including the awful, awful trade that Kevin Pritchard, the new general manager or team president for the Pacers, agreed on. But first, define the Paul George era in Indiana now that we have to put like the great, we have to etch it on a gravestone.
It was what it was.
I mean, it was a positive one, though. I mean, Paul George was a superstar.
Oh, it was positive. He was as good as you come. It's just you can't – a one superstar team cannot do anything in the NBA anymore.
No. I mean, they drafted him out of Fresno State, and then he had like – didn't he have that growth spurt during the lockout where he went from like 6'8 to 6'9, and it was like he became a 6'9 small forward, which turned – and he was actually like the guy behind Danny Granger, where a lot of people thought Granger was the star, the all-star. And then after Granger had his knee problems, then Paul George asserted himself as the man. And then they had that about 2 or 3 year stretch where they feuded with the Miami Heat, but they never got over that hump.
And that's the thing. It's just you can, you know, you need that second and even third piece now to do damage. And it was, you know, you can look back, but it's just Indiana. It's like, well, they got as far as they could, I think.
Well, they, you know, we're not talking anymore about the Hibbert, George Hill, David West era. That was the playoff regime that couldn't make it over the hump, like I was saying. The one that they had last year, they tried to throw pieces together. They got Jeff Teague in a trade. They brought over Thaddeus Young in a trade. They signed Al Jefferson, who had just finished up with the Charlotte Hornets. They brought back Lance Stephenson late in the year. They brought in Monte Ellis. There was no worry of chemistry or lack thereof. It was just, can these guys play? They scored some points on other teams. Let's just bring them together and see how it fits. And it didn't really fit that well.
No, it didn't. And then everything fell apart. Pritchard got butt hurt and then made a bad trade for no reason.
The Nate McMillan for Frank Vogel switch was not ideal, is the best way I'll put it.
No, that's just lazy.
Yeah,
that's just saying, well, we just need a different name, but we don't care. You cut Monta Ellis and stretch his contract 3 years for no real legitimate
reason.
You
could have played him another year. I mean,
yeah, they're not. Really, then all of a sudden you go sign Darren Collison for money. You get Bogdanovich for money. It's like, well, are you tanking or are you trying to be an eighth seed? Still, like you trade,
and you're not really high on Collison as much as you are on Corey Joseph, who they got in a sign and trade.
You know, you give up CJ Miles, who was, you know, your 3-point guy, and you get, you know, Corey Joseph, who I didn't see the problem with him in Toronto. A lot of people in Toronto were down on him, but I think overall he's going to be better than Collison will be.
Yeah, well, Collison's already had his tour in Indiana. It feels like Derrick Collison's – he's becoming the Jimmy Jackson of the NBA, where it's like you're playing on every team. But Collison's already played in Indiana, and he lost his job. He lost that point guard spot to Paul – I think it was George Hill back in 2012. And then he got shipped out to Dallas, and then he went to the Clippers, and then he went to the Kings, and now he's back here in Indiana. Maybe he'll fit there. Their rookies are TJ Leaf and Ike Anabogu, both from UCLA.
Yeah, you get two big men, and then you trade for Sabonis as your third big man, and then you have Miles Turner, who's your big man. It's just like, well, why are you stocking up on one position, essentially, and now your shooting is weak, and like it's just, you know, Oladipo's not... You know, Oladipo for Paul George is just, you know.
Yeah, I was trying to get kind of ramp you up for it. Paul George was traded in exchange for Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. This shall be repeated in every NBA podcast you hear for the next, 5 years, because it's like one of the worst, most one-sided deals of all time. I'm not trying to poo-poo on Victor Oladipo. He just started a 5-year, $100 million contract, number 2 overall pick. He's had some good years. He's got potential. I've always liked him coming out of Indiana, the college, IU. But we'll see how he does. I mean, maybe playing closer to home or quote-unquote home might be a refreshing for Oladipo when he finds something.
Third time's a charm for him? You were supposed to be the man in Orlando when you get shipped out, and then you're...
And you're supposed to be the Pippin in Oklahoma City, yeah.
And then you get shipped out.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not looking good for him, but this is the opportunity. His contract kicks in, and he's basically the man, unless Miles Turner is the man. Like, do you think Miles Turner can be the face of the franchise?
He has taken that, and I think everybody assumes he is already.
He averages over 2 blocks a game, 7 rebounds, 14 points a game. I mean, they hit big. They hit good on him when they drafted him in 2015. I'll say that.
yeah, that's just one of those, again, fell to him. And then he was supposed to go a little higher, and then all of a sudden, you know, well, here we are. We have a new franchise centerpiece, and other than that, just not much around him. Like, what are they trying to do? Are they just trying to fill up a roster? There's no real...
Yeah, they were a bad rebounding team last year, and I don't think they got better just by drafting Leaf and Onabogu. Bojan Bogdanovic is just more of like a pop scorer off the bench. Even though he might be a starter level for Indiana, I feel like he's better off coming off the bench like he did for the Wizards. Found a good niche there. Joseph, like I said, that'll be a battle between him and Collison for who starts at point guard. And, you know, Lance is Lance. I mean, and Al Jefferson is right. I mean, he is right on the precipice of retirement. Would you agree?
Yeah, there's not much gas in the tank, and maybe he can try to eke it out for another year. It's just there's not much gas. And where do you need him if you have three developmental people?
Yeah, I mean, what kind of identity change can they do with Oladipo and Turner and Thaddeus Young and Bojan and Corey Joe's? Like, what can they do?
They need to move Thaddeus Young. He's sort of too good to be on this team. He can provide something. He has a decent contract.
Oh, it's try to get value from a playoff team.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really see much of an identity with this team because there's no cohesion. They're not a three. This team can't shoot threes. Spacing isn't their go-to game. Again, this is everything we knew with Orlando and Oladipo.
Mm-hmm.
We're just back to that scouting report.
And Nate McMillan has never been a proponent innovative for shooting coach. Threes. Yeah, he never shoots threes. He tries to play. He wants to lead with defense. You know, I mean, the block shots per game for them is good because of Turner and also Young is a good steals guy. So they got some defensive. They got a little bit of defensive strengths, and also they were 29-12 at home. So I mean, a lot of that is lent to George being so good, but maybe they have a good home crowd. You know, Indiana's always been known to being a very, very loyal basketball city. So maybe they kind of rally behind the ragtag group kind of thing. I don't see it. I think the bottoming out is coming here for Indiana. They have a 31.5 over under for the wins. I'm going to go a hard under. I think they're going to probably be less than 30, somewhere around like 25, 27.
Yeah, under is an easy pick here.
Okay, we're going to go to the Western Conference again and talk about the Los Angeles Lakers. Again, a lot to unpack here because a lot of moves were made, but the difference here between Indiana and LA is that for Indiana, I think the curtain has been pulled with like what they had, like all the plans that they had, and they were all dashed, and now they're kind of starting over. With the Lakers, we're one step away from what the real game plan is, which is basically, let's just try to create max pockets so that we could sign free agents.
This is just it's funny. This team actually has upside and we can actually look forward to it. And they're just going to say, you know what, let's just blow up all this young talent and let's just bring in old veterans.
And that's why it's the upside down.
This just the funny thing is, it just makes this Luol Deng contract look worse and worse every day. And
they did get rid of the Timofey Mozgov contract, but it was at the sacrifice of trading your best guard, D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, and then you lose Tariq Black, who was good. You lose Nick Young, who had a resurgence and got irrationally confident.
I think that was by design. I think they didn't want Nick Young, and they just basically gave him the minutes to try to prove himself so that he could opt out and leave because they didn't want him around.
You bring in Caldwell Pope on an overpay.
But it was 1 year so that they can keep that max pocket for 2018.
Oh, yeah, that's just – we have no intention of signing you again. It's just here's an overpay to keep you. You get in Brook Lopez Brook Lopez is great. He'll be great. Yeah, they're not going to re-sign him. Mm-hmm. They're not going to give him any money if they're going to go for two max people. So it's just like, you have all this young. We like Julius Randle. We like Larry Nance. We like Kyle Kuzma. Where are all these minutes coming from all of a sudden?
Okay, well, there's a few other parts here that we haven't tackled yet. One of them is the fact that this was the first year after Kobe Bryant retired. So a lot of people, and Luke Walton comes in, but Mitch Kupchak was the one who hired Walton. So Walton kind of gave him a little bit more pizzazz on offense, even though the offensive numbers, if you look at it efficiency-wise and three-point shooting-wise, not the best. I mean, below average. But then middle of the year, there was a tug of war between the buses. I think it was Jeannie is the daughter. The son that was in the mess of it, I don't remember his first. It was Jim Bus.
Yep.
Jim Bus and Jeannie kind of won out on that. Brings in Magic Johnson as the team president. Rob Pelinka, who's a very well-known agent, is now the general manager. They immediately made a couple of moves. They were the ones that sort of engineered the D'Angelo Russell Mozgov trade so that they could free up some cap room. Didn't pull it off with Dang. I don't know if he's a tradable contract at this point, because at $17 million a year at age 32 and declining numbers, I don't know if they can do that. They also did the Lou Williams trade, which I don't know if it really worked out in their favor. Would you say that it was kind of an even trade?
Getting rid of Lou Williams for...
Oh, first-round pick.
And who else did they get with him?
They got Josh Hart. They got Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, they got Hart, who's, you know, I guess I'm a Kuzma.
Oh, Tyler Ennis, who I believe they brought back in.
But that's just an emergency backup player. But again, where is all these minutes going to come from? Where's this talent going to come from? You draft Lonzo Ball, and we're not going to talk about his father or anything else about that. It's just you bring him in as your now your new superstar. Okay, well, you have Ingram, who you told last year was your superstar.
Yeah, Ingram got a ton of minutes as a rookie. He's kind of in that Marquise Chris role. The only difference is I think Brandon Ingram's actually good.
I'm waiting to see that.
I mean, his efficiency minutes because of the efficiency base because of how many minutes he played was saturated. So he was an inefficient player as a rookie. But he's 19 years old. He's just turned 20. You know.
Corey Brewer, that was who I was thinking of as part of the Williams trade.
Which is another deal that I don't think they're going to be able to get rid of for at least another year. So.
No, they could. Somebody can use him. He's valuable depending upon. I don't know how much he makes. Maybe 10.
You know, they got other guys like Zubac. Julius Randle is going into restricted free agency. Like all RFAs or upcoming RFAs, that's always an interesting scenario. Jordan is still there.
And if people are expecting Randall to take the leap, you're an RFA. Okay, I want to get paid. Well, we want to bring in LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's going to make $40 million.
And we want to bring in Paul George, too. And so now you're really emptying the cupboard. You know, the same way that the Celtics had to get Gordon Hayward, the same way that Miami did to get the big three. I mean, there's a lot of economic decisions that have to be made to make the cap room that create really, really tough choices. You know, and
they've already started, you know, they had to cut RJ, like Celtics had to cut RJ Hunter only second year in. You know, this year they declined the fourth year option on James Young and cut him. It's like, well, now you're getting rid of all these.
I mean, Magic was the one that brought in David Nwaba from the D League because he thought he played really hard and he had to cut him. He was like, look, I got to make these numbers work. If I want LeBron for 30-plus mil per year, I got to make this work. I got to cut loose ends.
And then you know, that's the thing is, now that Jordan Clarkson deal doesn't look so good as we had thought.
Yeah. Well, at least they did that other than an arenas provision contract because he was eligible for it, where it would have been a back-end balloon payment, kind of like Tyler Johnson. That would have killed him because that would have been an untradeable contract. This is manageable.
It's manageable, and again, the story of this is there's excitement finally, as opposed to, look, Kobe's done. He should just stop. Mm-hmm. Nope, he's going to keep going. Well, this team is being brought down by Kobe and horrible coaching.
Yeah, it hurried up the timing of trying to make it work because of the impending free agency for the other stars. So you have to time it just right. You know, but you have to sort of manufacture it where it's like, okay, well, we're going to have to trade Mozgov to get rid of that deal. We're going to have to find a way to get rid of Dang's deal because that doesn't expire for another couple of years, but we need the room now. So there's just a lot of the talk that we're talking about the Lakers has almost nothing to do with the season, which gives us the feeling that this season is going to be a little messy. Brook Lopez also comes in from that Russell trade, and Brook Lopez had a very good year in Brooklyn. You know, where they expanded his offense, they let him shoot threes. Do you think he can provide for the Lakers?
Oh, he'll be decent, but again, he's just 1 year rental. He's playing for his next job somewhere else, and you know, you're just gonna get destroyed by this West powerhouse. Like, if you have to play, you know, the Clippers are still better than you. Most West teams are better than you still, so you're still gonna be at the bottom looking up.
I mean, when LeBron went to Cleveland, there were pieces in place. You know, they had the number one pick for Wiggins at the time. They had Kyrie Irving in the fold. They had Tristan Thompson there. They had pieces where LeBron looked at it, you know, this could actually work for me. If I come here, I could win a title. And he did. But in L.A., if he was in the same situation, you look at what they'll probably have left there. You know, you have Lonzo Ball. You'll have Brandon Ingram. You'll have, you know, Larry Nance Jr. Or Julius Randle even. Do you feel like that's something that they can look at and say, this might do the trick?
But not really, because he doesn't want that. He wants his friends in.
He wants Paul George. He wants Banana Boat.
He wants George. He wants Chris Paul. He wants Melo. He doesn't want these 20-year-old kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of like, it doesn't make sense of like you're building this all up and you're just going to have to tear it down next year. But whatever. Did you do the Vegas?
The over-under is 33.5 wins. That's actually a 7-game improvement from what their actual win total was, which was 26. I'm going to go under, and I'll just say...
Yeah, that's the Lonzo Ball hype of, did you see him in the summer league? Yeah, passing to D-League players. And
the one who looked really good in summer league, we're not going to try to get into the minutia, was Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma looked really good. I've always been a fan of Josh Hart since he was at Villanova. That's my dude. Like,
yeah,
I think he
looked good. It's just they're not going to see the court with Brandon Ingram sitting in front of them and... In Caldwell Pope, like, good luck. You're gonna see you on the LA Defenders.
Yeah.
But no, definitely under.
I am interested in watching Ingram if they put him at the three. Listen, he's so skinny. He's got to gain some weight. So if he can kind of handle being at the three defensively, I would really be interested in seeing if he can expand his game. That's what I want to say. You know, but outside of that, yeah, I'll go under for the Lakers, but. The intrigue is not there yet. It's upcoming. So there's still some more to talk about there. Back to the East, and we're going to talk about the New York Knicks.
Okay, let's just ignore the dysfunction. Let's ignore the GM who tried to tank the team. Let's just ignore the fact that
team president,
coach...
team president, mind you.
I'm sorry, team president. Let's just ignore the coach who isn't good and doesn't know what he's doing, who replaced a coach who... is even worse and was worse in Minnesota.
You're talking about Jeff Hornacek replacing
Hornacek and Rambis.
Yeah.
You know, at no point did I think, as anybody said, Hornacek's a good coach. Mm-hmm. I think it was just, you know, hey, will you play the triangle? Okay. You're hired.
And they brought in who did they bring in back? They brought back Rambis as a defensive coordinator, right? What would be a good football example of that? Wouldn't that be like bringing in Kyle Shanahan to run your defense?
It's just like Wade Phillips.
Well, no, Wade Phillips is a defensive coordinator. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's like bringing somebody who knows nothing about defense to coach your defense.
Oh, I thought you meant somebody. Well, we hired him as a coach. He was horrible. Well, let's just bring him back as a defender, as an assistant.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like, didn't that happen with Mike McCoy? Like, he left the Broncos. I know we're getting off track, but this is the Knicks. I want to get off track. He left the Broncos to coach the Chargers as a head coach. He got fired. He went back to Denver. That kind of thing.
Oh, it's like Romeo Crennel. And
Romeo Crennel, he's just like, that's his role. His role is like, let me just get fired from this job so I can go back to the one I was at before.
People think, he's good. Let's not. No, let's just. Let's just talk about the upside of this team, which I think there is some. This international scouting department, I think we should really sort of give props to them and not be so hard on Frankie here, their number one pick.
Okay, because of the fact that they've kind of hit some decent strides with Willie Hernan Gomez and Kuzminskis. There are two big
Kuzminskis, Porzingis, Hernan Gomez. So maybe this kid, he was also, if the point guard draft wasn't so deep, he would have been higher.
Yes.
He fell down because, everybody else sort of went up.
He was the top, unless I'm totally drawing a blank, he was the top Euro coming into that draft.
It was him and Dennis Smith and Fultz were the guys. All of a sudden, Lonzo Ball, well, we didn't know whether he'd be good.
The criticism of Ntilikina was that it was a Phil Jackson pick because Phil Jackson stayed around as the GM about going into the draft, and then he was fired about a few days after the draft.
Yeah, and then he asked, you know, Ntilikina a lot about the triangle, and it's like, yeah, I can play it. I'll be good in the triangle. Okay, you're a fit for the triangle.
Yeah, so but there's a Phil stink on Ntilikina.
There's that, but it's sort of like he has the unfair comparison to Dennis Schroeder of, well, yeah, he came in super young, but yeah, you have to develop him. And would Dennis Smith have been better? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would a spark plug like Monk been better? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not ready to give up on him like the fickle fans are.
Yeah, I mean, well, they have a new – I don't have the names in front of me for the new brass for the Knicks. I know one of them had come from the Kings. I don't remember his name.
Steve Mills.
Which one is it?
Mills.
Mills, okay. And so he's one of the ones sort of working there. I know that David Griffin was in talks, but stupid James Dolan didn't want to give David Griffin too much power or the power to bring in his own guys.
His own staff, yeah.
So yeah, Griffin was out. So we'll see what the new brass feels about about this core, which you have Joakim Noah and his huge contract, where he just seems like he's wilting before our eyes. Courtney Lee, Derrick Rose is gone, so it's now Kristaps Porzingis and Carmelo Anthony.
You have Carmelo, and the problem with Carmelo is you've damaged him with all those trade talks beyond belief.
He might be gone before
you make it. You know, it's funny, they make him sound like he's a horrible player. Name me a better mid range player in the NBA. It's a useless position now and is totally outdated, but there's nobody who is a better mid-range game than him.
Well, the idea, too, is like wherever he goes, it's like, oh, well, remember when he played for Team USA in 2012 and he was a spark plug? I'm like, yeah. Do you remember when he played for Team USA in 2016 and he barely played? You know, it's like, come on now. I mean, let's be reasonable here. I mean, Carmelo Anthony was great in the Olympics in London. I know that. He had like 37 points in 17 minutes. He's an offensive fire plug when he wants to be.
Yeah, but because international ball is also a little different. You can't.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like he can be – like, he's the man here because that's how it was built in. That's when he signed his he re-signed here. Phil said, it's your team, and he's paid as such. But do you feel like if he went somewhere else, would that be the same way?
No, he sort of knows that he cannot be the top guy because
it's twilight time, pretty much. Yeah,
it's reached that way. He was the guy in Denver, and then the Denver thing wasn't really his fault. It was just, you know, the media hype that overdid it. Okay, you come to New York. Well, okay, we're not going to put anybody around you. And, you know, and then that's the problem with this new regime of, okay, well, let's give Ron Baker $4.5 million plus a player option.
Which you're completely buying in on Ron Baker, who I like, but
you bidding against? You got, you know, you're looking at Yogi Ferrell, who you got for a minimum deal off the D-League, and Baker's worth $5 million?
Yeah.
Like, that's a question mark. And then, okay, the Hardaway thing, just own it. Man. Be like, he's our future. We see potential in him now.
The thing that bothers me about Hardaway Jr., though, is that he was already there. They shipped him out.
Yeah, we shipped him, and then he developed these skills. We didn't think he could, you know, we've changed our style now. He now fits it.
Okay.
At the time, we didn't. At the time, well, we shipped him out, but then we brought in people like Courtney Lee. We brought people like, you know, Derrick Rose. This requires them trading Courtney Lee, who they really should trade because he makes too much to do nothing.
Which was like, what's funny, though, just to finish here, is that they felt like that was a bargain in the 2016 Spendapalooza. And now look at it.
Yeah, that's the thing. And all of a sudden, you know, just own it. Be like, you know, he can be a corner piece. He can be that spot up shooter that we need. He's the one, you know, just as opposed to, we don't know what we're doing. We're trying to out bad GM everybody else.
The point guard position is the biggest concern. You talked about Baker. They also picked up Ramon Sessions. Ntilikina might be a slow developer. We'll see. He might be a total shocker, and he starts, you know, which might put him in the rookie of the year race.
You have to sort of start him. Ramon Sessions is not a starter. Starting Ron Baker is just like saying we don't care about this team.
Yeah. Noah, do you feel like – I mean, he's got the suspension anyway. I mean, I know there was some complication about the number of games where it seemed like the Knicks were willing to pawn off the number of games because he had already been injured. So is he suspended for the first 20 games? Is that?
No, it's not. It's not the first 20 games because they just put him on the active roster for the 10 games last season.
Okay, so is he suspended for any length of time to start?
Yeah, it's like 10 or 14 games.
10 or 14. Do you feel like he can come back?
I don't think he has much.
I know we're looking at, we're staring down like albatross level for contract status, but like, do you feel like he can provide, basically?
You'd want to hope so. It's just,
Kyle O'Quinn had okay moments. He just needs to stop punching people on flagrant fouls.
Like, you could say you want him to be the, you know, he can do it, but he can't give you 30 minutes anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what about O'Quinn? The guy I was just talking about.
Oh, O'Quinn, they wanted a first-round pick for him. Yeah. And it's just like, well, okay, now you're just rashly on him. He's a nice, solid backup guy, but, you know, again, this team is just, you have Carmelo, who you've tried to kick out the door every which way, so he's not playing hard for the team. And then you're going to have players who don't know how to play. It's just going to be sort of an ugly situation.
And, well, I think the Porzingis rumor that Phil stupidly confirmed on an interview, I think that was the end for Phil. I mean, and James Dolan, as dumb as he is, made the right decision. He said, oh, no, we're not getting rid of Porzingis. That's our future. That's our star. That's our real star. You know, where it's like, it feels like Melo is on the outside looking in.
Yeah, all our people, we're going to look at all of them and drink. No, you say he's untouchable.
Yeah. Well, that's how you ride look at Cleveland. Cleveland, that's how they did this with Kyrie. Kyrie requested the trade. And Cleveland said, okay, we'll listen to people, but we're going to make this so fucking hard to make this deal that the deal we get, we cannot screw up. And you know what? Good job by Cleveland. They kind of they pulled it off.
Did they though?
To be continued.
We have a injury. We don't know how long it's going to be. Now that we've confirmed he's not going to be there for opening night.
You know what LeBron should have done? I was thinking about this. You know that he was front and center on the screen side for the Floyd Mayweather Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor fight. He was like right on the right side by Steve Harvey. He should have bought an empty chair and said that should have been Kyrie, and then had Isaiah Thomas show up and sit in the middle of the show. That would have been beautiful.
That's more of a WWF.
Well, that's where we're at though.
That's a WrestleMania. But
I mean, look at these moves. We're at a point where they're making these huge changing moves that just don't make sense.
This is just another case of the GM being or the front office being butthurt. You know, he was angry. Jackson was angry that Porzingis. No player's ever skipped an exit interview with me. How dare he? Who does he think he is? Mm-hmm. I'm definitely listening to trades. Okay, no. This is enough.
Do the Knicks have the guts to make a move like that?
I think they ultimately have to, because if you have one more year of Carmelo and just sort of cut, there's no point of cutting and stretching him because you don't need.
Yeah, I think that pipe dream's gone. But
You're just gonna have one year of him being miserable and sort of undermining the development of the team. And in a perfect world, no, he shouldn't have been traded. They should have tried to. He's good.
Yeah,
try to make something work. They've really made no attempt to try.
They underwhelmed significantly from their over-under. I bet you their over-under with all the Derrick Rose hype was somewhere in the Noah hype was somewhere around in the high 40s. They went to 31 wins. This is 30 and a half. I'll actually go a little over because I think Porzingis is going to take the step.
I want to be optimistic and just say push.
Okay.
I just, it's going to be tough, but I think if you can move Courtney Lee, if you can get some to just, play your guys. Again, they still have to play Atlanta. They still have to play Brooklyn. They should beat those teams easily, so you should be able to get some garbage wins.
Michael Beasley also kind of they threw in. And Beasley played well in Milwaukee. So
Beasley's always played well as just a
spot. He's lost a lot of weight. He's basically become a guard now, which if you watched him in Kansas State, you'd have thought that was impossible.
And he's motivated finally at the age of 28, whereas
maybe he got the weed out of his system. I don't know.
It's just like, imagine, you know, if he was that way when we all thought he would be at 19. It's just, you know, he's a good signing.
And losing Derrick Rose is an addition by subtraction. I hate to tell you that, but
it was one of those. Well, you went all in. They thought they're getting the MVP, and so they got the decent, you know, what he was in Chicago at the end. Yeah. Nothing special, nothing good. But okay, now just coming down to we'll just call this the yard sale team.
Okay, the Sacramento Kings.
They've collected so much, and all they have is just tons of prospects. And then this year, I think, you know, you're probably going to be against it.
It's like doing a garage sale, and then you buy two used cars. It's like, why? You know, I mean, the two used cars I'm talking about is Zach Randolph and George Hill. First of all, what is the legal status on Zach Randolph for the marijuana? He was arrested for selling marijuana.
No, he had so much, they said. You know, the DA is like, well, you're going to do this with this. No, he just had a shit ton on him, and they said, well, that's enough to sell.
That is actually quite impressive, though. He just hangs out with the weed.
And that's basically what everybody sort of was like. You're like, yeah, if you're rich, that's what you do. You just buy a ton of weed from
I'm not smoking. It's like, didn't Nate Newton, didn't he have like a, this was a long time ago, but I think he got arrested because he had like hundreds of pounds of marijuana in his car or something like that. This was years and years ago.
Oh yeah, that was he was going across state lines and
yes,
Texas.
That was a different. All legal situations are unique. But okay, the Z-Bo era in Memphis is over. He signed a decent little deal with the Kings. I felt like it was an overpay, but
so okay, you got him. You got Vince Carter for 2 years.
Okay,
George Hill 3 years. I'm not so happy about that. But look who their understudies are. You have Scalabissier. You have Giles. You have
De'Aaron Fox playing behind Hill.
You have De'Aaron Fox. You have that bland name guy from UNC playing
Jackson.
Okay, you got Justin Jackson playing behind Vince Carter. Mm-hmm. You have all these young players. You have Buddy Hield playing behind Vince Carter.
I think Buddy Hield's going to start, mind you. But keep going.
Okay, fine. But behind the... We're not talking about... They're not going to get tons of minutes, but I'm saying from practice time.
Okay.
It was like Minnesota when they got, here's Tayshaun Prince, here's Kevin Garnett. Well, I'm going to teach, you know, Garnett's going to sit with Karl-Anthony Towns and be like, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to have Vince Carter saying, okay, Buddy Hill, here's how you get, you know, 0.1 quicker release. Zach Randolph, okay, here, you know, Scalabus here, here's how you, you know, here's a low post move you don't, you know, because you never learned anything in Kentucky. That's the thing, is you have all these young pieces on what they're doing. And let's not forget Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Okay, which is the not to be confused with Bojan, because this is going to be happening all year. Bogdan Bogdanovic is a guard from Serbia.
Richest EuroLeague player ever to come in.
Yeah, it was a big deal. In fact, a lot of people thought the deal was even bigger than that. Like, it was, some people were saying it was around $13 million a year when it was first.
It was supposed to be $336 million, and it somehow went down to like $330 million. But then you watch the Euros, he and you know, Luka Doncic, which I was telling you about his name last year.
Yeah, he shined in Eurobasket, I believe, correct?
So, yep, he made it to the finals, and he was, you know, the first team. So he looks like he can play. And you have you know, mentoring is a good thing. You can't just have young players. Look at Philly. Philly had no mentors, so you just had young players who don't know what they're doing developing bad habits. Here might be a little, okay, guys, let's learn how to play.
Yeah, the elephant in the room is the DeMarcus Cousins trade in the All-Star break.
Well, yeah, that's, you could say that, but in the end, they brought back pieces for him,
mm-hmm.
which, sadly, we can say GMs didn't bring back pieces for their superstar.
This is the funny part about the Boogie trade. People thought it was a steal for the Pelicans, and it might even still be. But when you compare it to the deals that followed it in the summer and in the fall, you're like, wait a minute. Like, that's actually a decent haul compared to the ones that followed it. You know, Rudy Gay is gone also. Darren Collison went to Indiana. Tyreke Evans went to Memphis. It was almost like a trade with Vince Carter. Ty Lawson, see you later. Aaron Aflalo, gone. Ben McLemore, he went to Memphis as well. There's a lot of Memphis-Sacramento stuff going on here. Dave Joerger's a coach. It's just kind of strange.
Yeah, that's the thing. You have Joerger, and you have players, you know, from his system who could teach this style to the young kids. So, because we know LeBissiere and Giles didn't play at Kentucky, so they don't know
Giles anything. Is going to be on a severe minute limit because of his knee issues.
He'll just be practice only.
Mm-hmm.
He won't see the court.
That was almost a project pick, where if it works out, great. If it doesn't, hey, whatever.
Yes, if it doesn't, we had three picks, so it doesn't.
Yes, exactly.
But this is, you know, this is all we can say about the team. It's just, you know, Vegas has them at 28.5.
They had 32 wins, but you got to remember, they were trying the first half of the season. They had gotten to a point where they had a losing record, but they were not a completely shameful team, you know.
Nope, and they're going to be under, and I think that's okay.
Yeah, I think 25 sounds right. I mean, I would even call it a hard under. You know, one of the worst teams in the league.
Unlike the previous tier, and unlike, let's say, in Indiana, or, you know, man, Indiana, these have just all prospects. This is like Minnesota was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
We just have a ton of first-round picks. Let's just see who starts taking off.
You know, they still got Papa Giannis, who they really like. Willie Cauley-Stein kind of showed some signs after the Boogie trade when they had to play him more at the five.
Yeah, that's the only problem is I don't like him as a starting five.
And Garrett Temple's not a point guard. They tried that. It failed.
Yeah, Costa Kufos is good, you know, but him and Cauley-Stein as your five, it's just you have a very skinny team.
Yeah, LeBissiere is like a good mid-range big man type of player. He had this one crazy game where he had like 30 points.
He came out of nowhere in the last
it was like one game. I was like, what? Like Papa Giannis too. So, I mean, maybe, you know, Luter's in a riot scenario where, you know, you get good minutes on a bad team, but this is a bad team. That's what it's meant for. And they have pieces, but I don't think it has enough pieces to conjure up like 30 to 35 to 40 wins. I don't think 35 wins is even in the running for them. You know,
no. So ranking these teams, I think we're both in agreement. Kings are the worst.
I have the Pacers as the worst. I have the Pacers as the worst.
Worse
I think
than the
Pacers.
Kings?
Yes, I think the Pacers are worse than the Kings because I don't think any of the pieces fit.
Well, so much for me guessing everything would be smooth at the end. Here.
I got the Kings right after them though.
I have the Lakers above them.
I have the Knicks above the Lakers because of Porzingis, and then I have the Mavericks first because I believe in Carlisle.
I have the Knicks first because they have Carmelo. He is the best guy by far in all of these teams.
Okay.
So, by default,
if they lose Melo, though, what would happen with the Knicks? Would you kind of keep them the same?
If Melo goes, I'd probably move the Mavericks up. I still think the Pacers don't know what they're doing.
I just don't think they'll recover from Paul George's exit, and especially with what they got in return. I'm just not sure. Whereas with the Kings, at least I know they're going to try.
Well, it's just one of those things. Like, if it comes down to, like, this tie, Pacers versus Knicks, who would win between those two? I would kind of want to think the Knicks would win.
Yeah, which is funny because wasn't it the Pacers that eliminated the Knicks in the playoffs the one year that Melo had like his MVP caliber season, and that was when Paul George took his lead. And now Paul's gone. Lord knows with Melo.
Maybe I'm being too, Pacers are just a team not to get excited about. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, I just don't like them at all. I just think it's gonna not work. You know, the bottom out factor for the Pacers, I think, is worse than all the others. The Lakers might bottom out, but for different reasons. You know, that kind of thing. That's more in that last cauldron, the tank job. You know,
For bottoming out, the team that could bottom out, you can't say the Kings are bottoming out because they don't have people who are good. Same thing with the Lakers. If you just have young kids, you can't bottom out. It's just a learning experience. Mm-hmm. The only team that could really bottom out is the Knicks.
Player to watch?
Player to watch from all of these teams? Dennis Smith, I've already said, so I'm going to skip.
Well, Dennis Smith, because he's going to get the opportunity. I think Porzingis, because he's going to be an all-star, and he's going to run that team eventually.
So here's a quick, you know, as we wrap up here, here's a quick question. What if Porzingis doesn't start doing 30 and 15s?
like, say, so if Porzingis is, like, it's kind of on the same range where
his numbers are still average.
Like, he's averaging, like, 18 and 7. And it's,
like, he was, yeah.
And it seems like there's no traction. Then you start tanking to get a top pick, try to get a Luka Doncic. Not to try to overdo with the draft, because, you know, I'm a big fan of the draft in college basketball. Like, try to get a Marvin Bagley, try to get a DeAndre Ayton kind of guy. Go into the tank.
But does panic come in as you've given this kid to the keys to the kingdom, and, well, he's just a kid.
Oh, you like overreact and Mills trades Porzingis? No.
Well, you can't trade Porzingis, but what if, you know, you've built this whole shrine for him and all of a sudden, well, he's not as good. Sort of like Andrew Wiggins. Oh, we got Andrew Wiggins. He's the best player ever.
Well,
he's gonna be the
didn't
next
he
T-Mac.
Just get like something in the range of 145, which is the same exact deal the previous agent got him?
Well, he did. He still have the
residuals are different. Yeah, the residuals are different.
The deal, I don't know if he's signed or he's going to, but that was always the, well, you have the deal on the table. Okay, you want to change the wording of some things and the numbers are still the same. But
is he worth it? I know we're getting off track, but is he worth that?
In the new NBA, sort of, you have to pay for the potential, but
I mean, he's getting paid.
That's the thing is, you know,
I mean,
what
like
if
Jimmy Butler's making 19, that's close to double what Jimmy Butler makes.
Yeah, but that's the way the new NBA is, and embrace it while you can before it implodes in 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, the next tier, it gets, we're swimming upstream. So it feels like this is the last part where it feels like teams are getting weighed down.
Where's the PSA? It gets better.
Whereas the other one, the next one after this, I feel like those teams, okay, now we're looking at playoff teams. Now we're looking at teams that might that have some a little bit of hope, whereas the hope here is faint. But it's there. The last one we did, the sunken place, there's zero hope. Zero. It is morose. But all right, and that's going to be finishing up this show and this installment. We'll be back for our season 3 to continue it. On behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. Take care, everybody.